I have so much respect for healthcare workers, particularly those who are going against the grain and finding a way to combine the magical world of spiritual healing with the all-important world of Western medicine. I can imagine that most people in healthcare professions don't put a lot of consideration into alternative forms of healing, and honestly, I don't blame them one bit for that, because there's a lot of nonsense floating around out there. If you search the internet for just 10 minutes, you'll find so many people just completely rejecting Western modern medicine, completely, in favor of all kinds of alternatives that are supposedly more natural and more effective, you know, allegedly. And because of what I do in my career as a crystal Reiki master and a manifesting coach, people assume that I fall into that category, that I completely reject Western medicine, that I refuse to take ibuprofen when I have a headache, or that I just don't ever go to the doctor or anything like that, which is simply not true. In reality, I land somewhere in the middle. If you've been a listener for a while, or if you're a client of mine, or you join me on our Facebook Lives, you'll know that I firmly believe in the world where alternative treatments and Western medicine can coexist. Specifically, Reiki and spiritual healing working in tandem with literally any kind of treatment plan through your trusted medical doctor, along with mental health professionals as well. So why do so many people think it needs to be an either-or situation? Why do people go, I either go see the doctor or I go see the Reiki practitioner and I don't do both? That just boggles my mind. I can't believe that. My belief is that we've reached a point in our evolution as a collective where these practices can mingle together to provide the absolute best results. And I am far from alone in this thinking. Thank God. My guest today really validated my own belief in this beautiful combination of spiritual and physical healing for optimal health, which is why I am so excited for you to be introduced to Tamea Urban, registered nurse and host of the podcast Discover Your Joy. She is the urban healer. She is a Reiki master as well as a nurse, and she is actively working on bridging this gap between Reiki and healthcare. So if that interests you, stay tuned. You're about to shatter the f*** out of your manifesting ceiling because you're tuning in to the Spiritually Inspired Podcast, your number one resource for grounded spirituality and working with the law of attraction the right way. I'm Sarah Ray. I'm your manifesting coach, and this is the podcast where I teach mystics like you how to manifest on purpose and hopefully get you to laugh at least once per episode. New episodes filled with manifesting, mindfulness, and magic come out each Friday. Give us a 5-star rating wherever you happen to be listening so we can reach more modern mystics with spiritual awesomeness. Yes! And now, a quick word from this week's sponsor. Every time I hear someone else insinuate that the law of attraction only operates on thoughts and wishing alone, I cringe pretty hard. Look, I'm not saying they've lied to us about the law of attraction, but they certainly haven't told us the whole story. Sure, mindset plays an important role in manifesting your dream life. So does planning and taking action and following your intuition. And as your friend and manifesting coach, I'm here to tell you what it really takes to use the law of attraction the right way. And you might be pleasantly surprised to learn that there's a repeatable system behind manifesting on purpose. A spiritually inspired strategy behind co-creating with the universe that combines proven goal-setting techniques with the magic of intuition. You can discover the system for yourself for free when you download my free manifesting bundle, available now at spirituallyinspired.co/manifesting. Within this bundle, you'll get my signature masterclass, How to Use the Law of Attraction the Right Way, on demand, so you can watch at any time. You'll also get my full-length ebook called Practical Manifesting, where you'll learn how to use the law of attraction in everyday life. And finally, you'll also receive a printable workbook that brings you through the 4 phases of manifesting in just 30 days. This bundle will give you the whole story of what it takes to manifest on purpose. It's so much more than just wishful thinking. Download this bundle for free and discover the possibilities that lie ahead for you. Go straight to spirituallyinspired.co/manifesting to sign up. Happy manifesting. I hope you enjoy this bundle.
Welcome to Maya. Thank you so much for being here. I have been looking forward to this conversation for a while. It's like been well over a month that I've been looking forward to this conversation. And we're talking about how our central nervous system regulates and how we can regulate it, the mind-body-spirit connection, neuroscience, and how our bodies speak to us. Because you are a nurse by trade, you are a registered nurse, but you also do the magical work of an intuitive, and you have firsthand experience in the healthcare field, which is way more than I can say for myself because I'm a really bad hemophobic. I don't do well with this sort of thing, but I want to pick your brain. So here we are. Thank you for being here.
Beautiful. Well, I'm so excited to be here, and same, I've been looking forward to this. And I remember when we initially booked it, I was like, oh my God, that's been so long. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, it's here.
I know, right? It just snuck right up on me. That's just how time works, right?
Totally.
So first, let's why don't you give us a little bit of a background of how you came to this type of work, how you combine the two seemingly very different worlds of nursing and neuroscience and all that medical nastiness and the metaphysical and energy healing. How did you get to that point?
Well, by accident, obviously.
This yeah, of course.
At all whatsoever. So I initially wanted to become a doctor, and then I changed my mind. And then in the middle of changing my mind, I became a banker, and I was actually banking for 4 years, which is like, what? Are you okay? And then I decided that that's not for me.
Weird.
People trusted me, and like I could sell anything. So I did really well, but then I was like, oh, that felt unethical. And I was like, oh, no. So then I decided to become a nurse because with nursing, I mean, it's knowledge you should have. It's using science. It's flexible. You can do it anywhere. And I was like, okay, let's do that. And then from there, with my own healing journey, I had a couple of things happen where like the medical system failed me. Mm. And like one of the things was I was in a surfing accident and I was told I'm never going to walk again. Oh. And I was like, oh, I don't have time for that. That doesn't work for me, actually. I refuse to accept that. Thank you.
That's amazing.
So I went to a couple of doctors and I was like, here you go. You can take that information back. I'll figure it out. And then that's how I found Reiki, which is the funniest thing ever. Cause I literally Googled non-invasive healing and then Reiki came up. And I mean, the first thing that came to mind was like, what the crap is that? I was like, energy healing. I'm like, that's actually stupid. But I'm like, okay, surrender. Like I'm actually stuck. And it was hilarious. Cause I go to my Reiki master and then I was like, hey, I'm good. You just like fixed my knee. And this was also when I just called off a wedding. My father just passed away. His ex-wife sued me. I can't walk. I'm in like life crisis times a million. And she's like, okay, you're fine. Sure.
Wow.
So lo and behold, I didn't have surgery on my knee. And I will say that I use a lot of medical modalities overall. So it wasn't Reiki that healed me. It was like a lot of acupuncture and massage therapy and like all the things. Like I dropped a nice chunk of money saving my knee. Knee's good though, so worth it.
For sure.
And then that's how I got into Reiki. And I was like, oh, I really like this. And I got like really into it, but I was like, oh, this is expensive. Like I'm going often. So I was like, why don't I become certified? And then I'm like, I'm doing it for me. And then that turned into, well, I could make a little extra money. Unfortunately, nurses don't make as much money as US nurses. So I mean, I've been looking over the border for a while, but I was like, oh, can't do it. Sorry.
Yeah. I get it.
Not doing it. So that being said, it became like another form of income. And then that kind of was like my gateway drug because it was like got into yoga, got into meditation. And then when you start hanging out with those people, all of a sudden you start finding out other things. And then you're going through like, oh my goodness, what's breath work? Oh, what's tapping? And then I landed in life coaching by accident. Somebody was like, hey, can I practice on you? And I was like, sure. And we're exchanging Reiki for life coaching. I'm fine. I don't need anything. I'm being a good friend. Okay. And in 15 minutes, she did an NLP technique that made me release something I've been carrying around for like 12 years with my therapist. And I was like, what just happened? What is this? So I was like, okay, whatever this is, I want it. And then that kind of got put on hold because it was supposed to be a live training. And then, of course, the pandemic happened. So then she started virtual. And then while I was COVID nursing, I was doing my life coaching certificate and then kind of transitioned over, which sounds super smooth. It was very painful.
I'm sure.
Let's just be honest.
Yeah, no kidding. It was a hard time for everybody, so I can imagine.
Yeah. So, and then I landed here. But then what I think is important is you can't just do one. Like, you can't just like journal and daydream and not actually take action. And you also can't be aggressive into the medicine and like the outside world. Like, your inner world reflects your outer world. So you need to heal your inside, literally, figuratively, in all the ways. And then things kind of fall into place. So it's great because my background in nursing is neuroscience and trauma. And I think that's like the foundation of your body, obviously. Mm-hmm. If your nervous system's not regulated, nothing's going to work. But then it's like, some things aren't supposed to make sense. There are miracles. Energy's a thing. You need both. So I've kind of landed in the middle by accident, but it feels really nice being here.
I totally agree with you. Like, short of having a bad phobia of all things medical and not having any sort of credentials like that, I feel very similarly, where you can't go too far in either direction. You can't rely only on the metaphysical healing. Yeah. You can't rely only on the scientific medical healing. Absolutely. It is best to be very well-rounded. Whenever I start talking about this topic, I get really good spirit chills, and that's totally happening right now.
Yeah. No, I love that. Yeah. And I think the one thing that we need to remember is, yes, we're a soul within a body, but that soul lives in its 3D world. Mm-hmm. And if your physical body, this like bag of skin that gets you around, if you don't take care of it, your soul's not going too far. So like, you do need to honor both, because we are both. And do I believe that your soul reincarnates? Yes. Do I want to have a nice life in this lifetime and be old and still mobile and my brain still works nice? Yeah. Yes. So you need to do both. And I mean, like, God forbid I broke my arm, I'm not going to Reiki it. I'm going to the hospital.
Oh yeah.
But then it's like, if I'm having certain ailments, I'm like, huh, interesting. What does that mean spiritually? And I'll sit with that and still seek medical advice, because I think you can do both. And it's not, you're not betraying one world by doing one or the other. You can do both. So that's kind of my opinion on that. And I think it almost like makes it easy, because I can lean into both crowds and kind of come in a middle ground and not be like aggressive of like, this is how it is.
Yes, absolutely. I do think most of us in this community, especially those of you who are listening, do fall somewhere in the middle. Because I know quite a few of my clients are nurses as well. Yeah. And they feel very similarly, where the medical system failed them. And there are certain gaps that couldn't be filled, but that got filled with energy healing or energy work, whatever that might be. And the reverse is also true, where we cannot ignore the fact that, you know, I broke my arm and the science community knows how to fix it. Like, why wouldn't you go? I've told this story before of my mother's best friend who discovered a lump in her chest and upped her Reiki practice and never sought medical attention. And that's how she passed away, because she never took care of the cancer that was growing in her breast. And that's too far in the other direction. Yep. But then I've also had people in my life that refuse to acknowledge any sort of mind, body, spirit connection. Oh, yeah. So while they may still be alive, they're not necessarily living their best lives. And I love that. This is why I wanted to bring you on this podcast, because it is a whole well-rounded wellness practice. It's not isolation. This is so important. And you and I agree.
Absolutely. And I think that's where we kind of learned that we are all that. Like, you're not just a soul, you're not just a mind, you're not just a spirit, like in like physical entities, like that it's a thing. So you need it to come together, or you're like half living.
Yeah, I totally agree. And lately I've been really vocal about saying this to the people who listen. If your medical doctor truly doesn't believe that your mental health affects your physical health, you need to stop seeing that doctor.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So the medical community is opening up to this, it seems. Yeah. Would you agree?
Yes. I'm very lucky. Like, my doctor is definitely very open to that. And she understands what I do. And she like respects that. When my father passed away, suddenly it was like gong show in a bad way. Like, it was awful. It was like unexpected. There was a lot of legal stuff. And I was like, what is happening? And I like took time off from work. And my diagnosis was depression. Mm-hmm. And then my human resources in my hospital was like, yeah, but you're not on medication. So are you depressed? And I was like, ma'am, excuse me, I didn't wake up depressed. I had something happen and I'm actively working through it. And my doctor was like, 0% chance are you going on meds? Like, you have a reason and you're processing that and you're grieving and that's normal. And she like advocated for me to not have to be on meds. And I mean, like, to be honest, I was like, if you want to prescribe me the meds, go ahead. I'm not taking them. Like, mm-hmm. I will throw them out one a day if that's what you want. not a problem. But like, she understood that. And then that's actually how I got into mindfulness and meditation, because she was like, well, I mean, you do need to lean into this and like process it. And then that's how I got into that world. So unfortunately, not everyone acknowledges that. And I do think that it's concerning, especially when there's any practitioner, whether it's a doctor or not, if you have an intake form that doesn't ask what kind of traumas you've been through.
For sure. Red flag. Absolutely. Yeah. What are some other red flags, do you think?
I would say getting really focused on like how to get the results as opposed to ask why something happened. And I think that's the thing that rubs me the wrong way when it comes to the Western world in terms of medicine, of like, okay, you have diabetes, here are the meds. And it's like, wait, what are you eating? What's your lifestyle? Like, hold up. And it's just like, you don't want to just throw like some sort of solution at it. And like, sometimes you do, so you can actually like manage it in the moment. And then you can like buy time.
That makes sense. And,
you know what I mean? Absolutely. But then it's like, why did that start? Why do you have a lump in your breast? Why do you have problems with your period? Why do you have problems with sleep? Like, those are not regular things. And I think unfortunately nowadays it's just accepted that's how it is. I'm stressed. Yeah. I'm anxious. I can't sleep. My indigestion. And I'm just like, no, actually, that's not normal. And that's not okay. Even though most of the people have that, that's actually not how your body is meant to like live. So then it's like, why did that start? What is the core belief behind this? Why is your nervous system not feeling safe? It's like, you gotta like, can we like get into the root of it? And like, literally. And I think most people are just like, yeah, I'm just gonna trim the weeds. But then I'm like, they grow back. You gotta rip it from the root and you gotta make sure the soil's good.
That's a great analogy. So true.
There you go.
Absolutely true. And I know a lot of people do feel, they're coming to the conclusion that just the symptoms are getting treated and they're often not getting to the root of things.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, especially where I live in like the Midwest and rural Midwest, tend to identify with their illnesses. Like, hi, my name is Sarah Ray and I have depression. I don't, by the way, that's just an example. Yeah. My name is this and I have IBS.
Yeah.
People do, they really identify with it. And then of course, the more you do that, the more your body is conditioned to believe that this is how it is.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't have to be that way.
No. And I think that's unfortunate. It, like, I feel like practitioners are very quick to slap on different labels, but then it's like, yeah, but why are you anxious? What started the anxiety? What have you not processed? Like, there's just so much more to it. And I, like, definitely when the Western world, it's like, oh, it's autoimmune because we can't figure it out. Oh, okay.
So that doesn't narrow it down at all.
Here, it's your fault. And here's some steroids. And I'm just like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, I can't. No, can we have a conversation? What are your past traumas? What was your childhood like? Like, what's your mental health? What are your support systems? Oh, we're not going to ask those things. Cool. Oh, and that's where I'm like, I can't do this nursing thing. It just doesn't feel ethical. It's not aligned.
Yeah.
I mean, that being said, I still nurse, but on my own terms, and it's definitely not where my income comes from.
Right. Correct me if I'm wrong. You nurse part-time in a hospital, correct?
Cool.
Yeah.
Casual. Yeah. So it's like once every couple months, I like sneak in. I didn't miss it though. Like, I miss the patient care and I miss the sciency of it. And it's like, I used to be a trauma nurse. So it's like all the like excitement. I mean, I was addicted to adrenaline. Let's be real. Like, it's fun. Like, yeah, it's Grey's Anatomy. Like, that is a thing. It's fun. So I miss that. But then it's like the actual support for the clients, I can't provide. And I can't cut my break shorter because I already haven't eaten, peed, or done anything. So it's like, doesn't feel good.
Yeah, because there's a real imbalance between people that are like you that want to do good work, but they can't be in that setting.
Yeah.
So then the people who thrive in that sort of setting tend to have different morals and values that might put their focus and emphasis on other things, when really we need more people, nurses like you, that look at it from a whole perspective. And I do think therapy tries to fill this gap, but there are a lot of I don't want to say problems, but opportunities for improvement for therapy, because therapy certainly helps people, right?
Absolutely.
Just like we need medical staff, but ultimately, maybe you can relate to this. I feel like
when people start to explore the spiritual side of themselves, that's when healing really starts to happen.
Oh, yeah.
Like you can heal your physical body. You can lose the weight or do whatever, get rid of the lump, do whatever you need to do.
Yeah.
But unless you dig deeper and see, why did I turn to eating in the first place, or how come I manifested diabetes in my life for whatever reason, or maybe there's a level of generational karma that needs to be dealt with, because a lot of things are genetic, right? So, and that all of which is not outside of our control, like we've been led to believe, which is why you're here today. So we can talk about that a little bit more. So let me ask, how do you think our body speaks to us? Like you at the beginning said something that I firmly believe, that your inner world your outer world is a reflection of your inner world. I truly believe that as well. It's one of my like life mottos. Yeah. So with that in mind, how does our body speak to us?
Absolutely. So our bodies speak to us all the time. Like, are you hungry? Are you thirsty? Do you need to like sleep? Is there a pain somewhere? I mean, like if you're going to touch a hot stove, you're not going to be like, huh, should I move this hand? You move your hand. So your body is meant to keep you alive. And like the whole purpose is survive. Like that is like you're dead or you're surviving. Those are the two states. And that's just like your more primitive brain, like reptilian brain, trying to like make sure, like check mark your living. That's your purpose.
For sure.
Yeah, there you go. But of course there's layers. So, the thing is though, like we've been taught to ignore that. And like, especially as women, for example, like you've been shamed to even like lean into your period in terms of like, what is it? How does it work? Like even in like nursing school, like, I don't think I was taught the phases of your menstrual cycle. Like, what? I think it was like, oh yeah, read this one page.
And no wonder they get dismissed so much.
Well, yeah. Like it's like, it's not taught. And it's like, oh, you know, you're 12, birth control. And it's like, what?
Oh, that was me. I went on birth control when I was 13. Because like, I had really bad cramps.
Well, that's the thing though. It's like, why do you have cramps? There's a reason you have cramps, as opposed to that's just how it is. And then like women aren't taught that, no, it can be just good and calm. And it's like the more healing I've done in my like sacral region energetically and like cognitively, my period has gotten amazing. And then it was like, I was in a toxic relationship last year. My period was wonky. Like it was like it was too long. It was too short. It was super heavy bleeding. It was like, everything was just a nightmare. And then literally the day after we separated, my period was like, I'm good. It was like my uterus was trying to leave my body. I was like, okay, got it.
Oh my gosh. Bleeding out.
Stay here. So your body will tell you if something is off, and it's always going to be like a little tiny nudge and then a bigger nudge and a bigger nudge. And then if you're not listening, suddenly something big happens. And it's just the universe being like, hey, you're not listening. So I'm going to smack you. But then it's like, we don't listen to our cues. It's like when I was nursing, it doesn't matter if I was hungry. I eat when I get break. And then I like shovel as much food into my mouth as I can, because I don't know where my next meal's coming. Not okay.
Yeah.
But it's like, wow, it'd be so nice if I could take a 30-minute nap. And then you're like, nope, going to Starbucks, you know? And then it's just like, all that is like accepted as our normal, as opposed to, can you take a moment and be like, what do I need? And it's like when you have a baby in front of you and the baby's crying, you're not going to be like, do you want Starbucks? No? Well, you're not getting anything. You're going to be like, do I need to change your diaper? Thirsty, hungry.
You go through a list, right?
Yeah. And then you're not going to be like, well, I tried.
Right. And then just cry it out. Like, no, that's how child abuse happens.
Yeah, like you're going to do something about it. But it's like, we're just large babies. Like really, I mean, hopefully we're potty trained at this point, but no judgment, you know, but then it's like, what do you need? And we're not taught to even acknowledge that our needs matter. And then again, it's like, as women, this is not the topic I thought we're going to be talking about, but I'm going to go into
totally
it.
Fine. Dig it.
We're in, like, we have cycles. Mm-hmm. We're not supposed to keep up with men who are on a 24-hour cycle. And does that mean that we're not as strong as men? No, we're just built differently. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we can actually accomplish more in less time because we're magical.
Yeah.
And yeah. But then it's like, when we're on our menstrual cycle, we should rest more. But no one taught us that. It was like, take your birth control or throw in an IUD, take some pain pills, carry on, pretend it didn't happen. And it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. So our body is telling us what we need, but then we're so deconditioned from listening that sometimes our bodies like kind of stop telling us, or it ends up developing some sort of disease because you're not in living in a state of ease.
So true. I can really relate to that. So again, I didn't think we were going to be talking about periods today. I apologize for the gentleman listening, but it's important. It is important for sure. So yeah, like I mentioned, I went on birth control when I was 13. And it's because my cramps were really bad. I had really bad skin, almost as if I was a teenager going through puberty. Weird. So then maybe like 5 or 6 years ago, I decided I was done with birth control because I had an IUD removed because it scared me. I hated having that in it. It scared the crap out of me. I just did not like it. So I decided to take it out. I tried a different type of birth control and decided just my body literally rejected it. Like I had to go to the doctor to take care of it because my body was literally rejecting it. So I made the choice in that moment to be like, you know what? I'm listening to my body. My body is telling me no birth control. And I successfully used math as my birth control for like 3 or 4 years before I finally got pregnant on accident, air quotes. And I knew immediately, like I knew the next day because I had gotten really good at listening to my body. I was like, there's the baby there. I knew it. So, that was something that I didn't realize until relatively recently that most women don't do and men too. But I think with women, their cycle is a little bit more obvious, but most women don't. Have been like that. So I'm wondering what advice would you have for someone who is listening going, wow, I have no idea how my body talks to me. Where do I even begin this new deconditioning lifestyle?
Well, you just start. Like you're not going to jump into like a huge decision. Maybe it can be like something tiny as you wake up and been like, you know, what do I need today? And that could be like, what am I having for breakfast? Not like I'm having the protein smoothie because I have to and I should. But being like, no, actually, I want like eggs and bacon. I want something like hearty, like different parts of my cycle. I eat differently. And tell me otherwise.
I'm the same way.
Like, don't. And then it's like, it's fine. It like balances out. Like, who cares? Or it might be like, what am I going to wear today? And then if your body's like, oh, put on that like silky top. And then your brain's like, what? You're going to put on a silky top on a Monday? Yes. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Because your body has asked for that. So it's like, ask the question of how can you take care of yourself, but then whatever answer comes through, so help me God, do it. Otherwise, it's like, what the heck? What did you just do? And like, think of it like you have a friend that comes to you for advice, and they come to you for advice all the time. And then every time you give advice, they literally do the opposite. Are you going to continue giving advice, or are you gonna be like, you know what? I'm so done with you.
Good point.
Well, that's our body. Like you have a relationship with your body. You have to have a relationship with your intuition and then listen. And then it's like, how often do we take a moment and like, this takes 10 seconds. Do not give me an excuse. Close your eyes, take a deep breath, scan your body. What does my body feel like? And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I'm clenching my jaw. Oh, my shoulders are up here. Oh, my stomach is funny. And it's like hilarious. Cause like back in the day, like if I went to my doctor's, I'm like, what was your last bowel movement? I was like, no idea. What did you have for breakfast? No clue. And it's like, are you okay? Like, I don't know what day it is. And then it's like, you have to like take a moment and be like, okay, wait, have I drank enough water today? Am I okay? And like, I'm very mindful when I use any sort of quotation substance. Like I drink alcohol, but I like, if I'm about to, is it like, am I celebrating? Am I like enjoying this? Does this like perfectly pair with like a meal? Like I just came back from Italy a few months ago and like, I drank wine. Because their wines are really good.
Nice.
And like, was I like numbing my emotions? No. But then it's like, let's say if I did a nursing shift and I was like, oh my God, just like give me a drink. I'd be like, oh, okay, hold on. What are we not processing? Lean into it. Don't drink anything.
I relate to that.
You know? And then same with coffee. Like sometimes like I actually love the taste and smell of coffee and the ritual of making coffee. So I'm like, you can't take that away from me. Like don't give me no like dandy blend crap.
No, I want the real stuff.
Come on, hit me up. So then it's like, when I do have it, like I do it mindfully. And then if I notice that I'm like, ooh, I'm starting to crave a second cup in the afternoon. I'm like, okay, I need to like rejig something. I'm not honoring my needs. And like, I'm out of balance. But then you have to actually take those moments to check in. It's like, what does my body feel like? What does my belly feel like? What does like shoulders feel like? Like, have you felt your feet? Like I talked a client through this exercise of literally just bringing her attention to her feet. And she was standing on the grass and she started to cry. She's like, I haven't felt my feet in 2 decades. And I was like, they're there.
Right.
But then it's like, you need to take those opportunities and like, I'm sorry, I don't care how busy your life is. I don't care how many children you have. I don't care what is happening in your life. You have 10 seconds to scan your body.
I totally agree. I mean, I have a toddler and I prioritize it every day. So I totally get it. It's just what you make time for. And that kind of leads me to my next point is that a lot of what we do when it comes to communicating with our own bodies and listening to our bodies is based in habit. Like you're making that second cup of coffee in the afternoon just because that's what you do at 2 o'clock, or you're just eating breakfast at 8 because that's just what you do, even if you're hungry or not. So much of it is based on habit and ritual. And we all know that a habit isn't necessarily by default in its own way good for you. So I feel like a lot of it is on top of scanning your body is paying attention to your habits. And like you mentioned, going back to your why am I doing this? Why am I eating if I'm not hungry? Why do I want this glass of wine? Like, is there a reason? Everything in moderation, of course, there's nothing wrong with eating something tasty or having a glass of wine. But if, like you said, if you're drinking to numb your emotions, that is not the same thing as this Prosecco goes perfectly with this Alfredo I made from scratch. Like,
Totally. And I mean, I would also say, like, we have to check in with, does this work for us? So, and I've gotten into this, and I feel like a lot of people forget that they can change their rituals. And like, this like blew my mind when someone brought this to my attention, where I kind of hit like a max in my business. And it's so funny. Whenever I hit a max in my business, I'm like, okay, what do I need to declutter? What have I messed up in my personal life in terms of taking care of myself? And I was like,
You bump up against that ceiling.
Now I'm like, I don't even like start questioning it. I'm just like, okay, scanning. What can I do differently?
I love that.
Let's do it. So I was doing certain rituals in the morning, and then I was like, I wrote out my mantras. I did my meditation. I did my breath work. I did my yoga. I walked my dog. I got some fresh air. I got some sun. And I was like, oh, I'm doing all the things. And then like literally someone was just like, what is like divinely feminine on your aggressively structured morning? Like, do you enjoy what you're doing? And I was like, no, but I'm doing the things. And it's just like, oh, okay, just relax. Whoa.
That is such a good point. Are you being aggressive with your rituals? That is such a good point. I relate to that. That was a light bulb moment for me just now. That was great.
And it's just like, listen, we're cyclical beings. So what worked for you in the summer might not work for you in the winter. And like, how do you soothe yourself? So it's like, I have morning practices, but that's where I go, what do you want? Ooh, I want to do a longer breath work. And then I go through a couple of weeks. So I'm like, I don't really care for breath work. And that doesn't mean anything. And then I get into like EFT tapping. And then I was like, oh my God, I really need to do my EFT tapping. And then sometimes it's a 20-minute session. And then sometimes it's a 5-minute session. And it doesn't matter. And it's like, I get obsessed with a certain ritual. And then I'm like, okay, you've served me. Now what? But it's because I check in with my body and be like, what do you need? What do you need? And like, I always tell, especially I think it's easier when you have kids, you need to look at yourself, like your inner child, as one of your children. And your inner child needs to get the same amount of attention as your firstborn, your secondborn, your thirdborn, your fur baby. It doesn't matter. Because like, if you're not taking care of you, you're half-assing every other aspect of your life.
Preach. So true. You cannot pour from an empty cup. We all know that.
No.
So
but
true.
Then you got to actually do the things. Like you can't just like, everyone knows like self-care hashtag. Oh, no, but like do it.
Yeah, for sure. So what I'm hearing is a little tiny bit of a contradiction, but that is the world in which we live in is contradictions, everything in moderation, right? Yeah. Where you have to do the thing, you have to commit to the rituals in order to see results. But at the same time, you need to be in tune enough to know when that has served its purpose. Or maybe you need to tweak it for whatever reason. It took me a very long time to realize that on a personal level, because for a while I felt like I was only doing things right in a spiritual sense if I was up at 5 a.m., meditating for 45 minutes, journaled for 20, and breathwork, all the things. Like I felt very similar. I had to do all the check marks. Yeah. But then, of course, the second I left my sacred space, I just went right back to my old habits that didn't serve me. So, right. Totally. So, you do need to find a level of commitment.
Yes.
But also a level of flexibility.
Totally. And it's like you do need to start on a very structured level until you build that like muscle memory almost in terms of doing it if you've never done it before. But then it's like then you can like lean into the flexibility of it because like listen, like the first time you drive a car, you're like, okay, oh, seatbelt, okay, key, ignition, okay, check this. And then afterwards you can just get in and you do it.
Yeah.
So then honor that. But then it's like, what are you doing? You're literally like moving through the masculine and the feminine, and it's never one or the other. And different parts of your life are going to require different versions of that. And that is okay.
Yeah.
And like, also just honor, like, you're not doing it wrong. You just sometimes need to tweak and adjust, but like, that's life.
Mm-hmm. I think people try to think that they're robots. They think that it needs to be the same every single day. Mm-hmm. And that is just not working. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm the type of person that I have a problem with authority. And sometimes I joke where I don't even like telling myself what to do. But over time, I realize that what it really is my body tells me what it needs. And that's really what I mean by that. So as far as planning my personal life goes, I will be like, okay, I have this time commitment today and this and this.
Yeah.
But pretty much everything else, as long as I get it done, it just gets done. And having that middle ground somewhere between the flexibility. So we mentioned many different ways that our body speaks to us. We talked about periods so far, talked about various diseases, mental health, but what are some other ways our body might speak to us? Like, do you think a freak accident, like breaking an arm, is just that? Or is that a way the body speaks to us, do you think?
Well, I would say nothing is accidental.
I agree. Yes, that was the answer I was hoping for.
But then I also, and like, I want to make sure that like I preface this correctly, there's people who are going through horrendous things, and I don't want people to be like, you did this. It's your fault. And then there's like some things where like a child having cancer, how in God's name are you explaining that? Like, it's not okay. So it's like, I don't want to victim shame anybody, and also acknowledge whatever you're going through it and it sucks. So there's no like judgment, shame, and like, what did I do wrong? Because I feel like sometimes we get caught of like, oh my God, I manifested this. What did I do? And then sometimes it's like, no, that actually just happened and it sucks. And now let's see what we can do to get through it. So yeah, sometimes things happen like that where, I mean, for me personally, my darkest moments have always been those pivotal moments where I was like on track to go this way, the wrong way. And then that just like rerouted me to do that. And I've learned, and again, this is like my own mentality in terms of how I process things, but when I get quotations bad news or something quotations bad happens, I'm kind of like, thank you, universe. I'm ready for my next level. Because every time I hit those dark moments, I have a quantum leap moment right after.
Yeah.
And it's like, again, I believe that we choose this life. We choose our karma. We have things we have to work through. A lot of crap is given to us, which sucks. It is what it is. Deal with it. And then I'm like, okay, let's go. And like my track record, side note, everyone's, is everything you will go through, you'll be okay. Because every time you have been okay, like it actually has always worked out. Sometimes not how you planned, and that's okay. It's always this or something better. I believe in that. So even if in the moment, like, my ego is screaming and it's like, it's not fair. This sucks. Why is this happening? I get back into the spiritual side of myself being like, this isn't supposed to make sense. And whatever this is going to create is going to be worth it. But I also acknowledge that my humanness is really not enjoying this lesson.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it's meant to be. Like, if we enjoyed every second of our lives, it wouldn't be very fun.
No, God, no. And it's like, again, like you need the duality. Like, you wouldn't appreciate your sunrise if you didn't have a sunset. And it's like, you wouldn't like really enjoy your inhale if there wasn't an exhale. Like, it's like everything is like that. So then without adding meaning to it and like leaning into the victim mentality of it, which side note, I have been guilty of. And like, I still drop into that. Like, oh, it's so hard. Why me?
I hear you.
I give myself a moment to have like a little pity party, big cry, beautiful. And then I'm like, what can we do to move forward? Because me being upset about it actually does not serve anybody. And then I'm like, let's go.
Yeah.
Now you're in big girl pants.
Yes. No. you just touched on something so, so important. So we mentioned just now, not victim shaming, which obviously none of us want to do, but there is a level of, victimhood mindset that we need to be aware of. So, so yes, you might not have planned to break your arm or anything like that. Like, nobody plans for that. It might've been a quote unquote, an accident, but on some level, there is a reason why this is happening.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that you are a bad person or you deserved it or like you're being punished. Yeah. But when we zoom out and look at the bigger picture as modern mystics, it is serving our greater purpose.
Oh.
And I also firmly believe that at any given moment in time, you are always at your highest good. Like no matter what, it's always our highest good. So if you do happen to break your arm and it's a horrendous thing or anything else, like obviously there's tons of horrible things that can happen to anybody, especially when it comes to health and medical problems. But that can all happen, but there is a greater reason and it will eventually put you on the path to higher wisdom. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Just like you said, it's great. And it can be a beautiful thing. And it's okay to have that pity party. I think I would even say you need to have the pity party. Like you need to allow yourself to feel that. Otherwise, otherwise you squander all the hard work you've been doing to create that mind, body, spirit connection.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I will also say, and this will probably trigger people, which I'm like happy about. So yeah. Sorry.
Yes, that's okay. I trigger people too. It's okay.
What are you gaining from being the victim?
Absolutely.
And it's like, unfortunately, there's some people who, and like, again, this is not okay, but if you grew up in a dysregulated household, the only time you got attention was when you were sick. The only time you got love is when you hurt yourself. And then you learn that. And it's also a huge identity crisis because like, let's say, and this one like makes me laugh slash not at all because it's frustrating. Smokers. Yes, there's an addiction. Absolutely. I agree with you. I would also love to have a smoke break every 2 hours and go outside and leave my job.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice. Must be nice. Can I just have a breathing break?
Yeah.
No, because I'm not a smoker.
Right. I think that's a big hot button topic for sure. I definitely really, I had a roommate in college who, I won't say names obviously, but, she was a very heavy cigarette smoker.
Yeah.
And she told me once, she confided in me that she was like, I don't care if I get cancer. I don't care if I die. I don't care if I get sick. I mean, what's more disconnected from your body than that? And it's so much of the mentality, you know, you have to choose to make that connection. And it's a very personal choice and you're free to make that choice.
Absolutely.
But if you're listening to us now, I'm guessing you're probably choosing health and expansion and happiness.
Yeah. And no judgment either way. Yeah. But it's like, what are you gaining from being that? And it's like, even for example, in terms of weight, a lot of women who are quotations overweight or not the weight that they would like to be, have you had sexual trauma and your body's literally trying to protect itself? And then you're actually terrified of being a different weight because of what kind of attention are you going to get? And you're scared of that attention because that attention was unsafe for you. So then you staying that weight is safe. Again, nervous system and subconscious mind, not logically, because we all know you got to eat healthy and you got to move your body to be quotations healthy. We know the formula. There's no magic here. So then why do some people lose it and some people don't? And then it's like, also if you have like, let's say a lot of friends who are also a little bit bigger and that's what you guys like connect with,
yes,
you can't become the skinny girl. Who are your friends then? So you actually have a lot to lose by changing your identity. So you want to stay the same because change in your brain is unsafe and you're going to die.
I say that all the time. I say that all the time. It's so true though, because as humans, we identify very heavily with our group of people. And often people hate when you change. They get very offended when you change. And weight is a great example. If everyone around you is fat. I don't have another word for it. If everyone around you is fat and you're fat and you decide to lose weight, what's going to happen? Everyone's going to get mad at you. So, and that's projection a little bit, but that is part of the growth and the cycles and change. But it's part of the choices that you make.
Absolutely. And it's just even like when I like left nursing and like my transition was pretty slow. Like I launched my business in 2018, but I was full-time nursing, still doing my business and then slowly transitioned. And like, nurses were ruthless to me in terms of like, must be nice. You don't even work. And I was just like, I run a business, girlfriend. So I actually work more than you. Also, you can leave just like I did. So I'm not going to feel sorry for you at all.
Rightfully so.
It's ridiculous. So it's like, unfortunately, this is the reality. You're going to be attacked for creating something better for yourself because you're triggering other people for them not doing it for themselves. But it's like, that's your own journey, honey. And then also I'm like, here are my free offerings. Let me help you. Why are you mean?
Oh, why are you being mean to me?
That's so true. Like, I'm here for you.
Yeah, that's so true. And people often don't ask themselves, how is this serving me? How is bringing down my coworker who's trying to change her life serving me? It's not. Yeah. It's not.
And it's so true. It's so funny because it's like all the things that I'm creating, it's so I can actually help more people on their healing journey. And like, no judgment, but it's like, I'm not getting my lashes done, my hair done, like Botox, and like spending like $3,000 on a handbag. Like, I don't do that. So I'm like, I'm actually just trying to help.
Like, be nice. That's all I'm trying to do. Yeah. Oh my gosh. This is a great conversation. I think it's so, so important to realize that your body does speak to you and to recognize the various ways in which it does. And you shared with us that tapping into your intuition and practicing and listening to your intuition is probably the best way to start down this journey of listening to your body. And meditation, of course, anyone who's listened to one episode of this podcast will know that if you're not meditating, you're not ready for much else in as far as spiritual.
Can I jump in on that? And of course. I might trigger you a little bit.
Oh, go for it.
I do not think you should start with meditation.
Oh.
Because if you are anxious, for you to with your thoughts is like marinating in a lot of energy that makes you feel very uncomfortable. So I would say start with something that, you know, gives your brain something to focus on, but isn't just like sitting in silence, because that can be murder.
No, I totally agree. I've never told any of my clients that have anxiety to sit in meditation, but I will say maybe try moving meditation, maybe painting meditation. Yes. You need something to do with your hands if you really do suffer from anxiety. Yes. But what we're really looking for is to meet your mind.
Yes.
If you're just in any way in which you're meeting your mind is the start.
And it's also like if you've never run, like you're not going to like sign up for a marathon. You're going to be like, I'm going to go for like a walk jog. So then it's like, start anywhere. But it's like, if you don't enjoy meditation and it doesn't work for you, you just haven't found the right one.
I agree.
Please don't stop. So it's like EFT tapping, or like yoga is a moving meditation. Yes. Tai Chi sounds like grandmas do it, but it's so, so powerful. Like, you know, like do those things, give your brain something to focus on. That's not your conscious thoughts and like the criticism.
Yes. And it does get easier over time. I think if anything, I would say most people probably start with that, because what I call formal meditation is advanced. Oh, it's hard for a lot of people. Like, any type of practice that moves your energy away from your conscious thoughts is going to help the healing process as a whole.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. Okay. So I have loved this conversation. This has been so beautiful and just eye-opening and amazing. Your energy is so bubbly. I'm sure you've been told that a million times. I love it.
It's a lot. It triggers some people and it annoys some people, but I'm like, yeah, exit. I don't care.
They're not my people. That's great. So why don't you tell us a little bit about where we can find you and your podcast and what type of work you do?
Absolutely. So I also have a podcast. It's called Discover Your Joy, because it's all about discovering your joy. I like basics. It's like, I just want you to feel that like childlike sense of joy that didn't come with like strings attached. And then like, let me tell you how to get there. So that is my podcast. My website is theurbanhealer.ca, CA, because I'm in Canada. There's a .com and that's not me. So blessings to them, but come to CA.
It was theurbanhealer.ca.
Theurbanhealer.ca.
Okay, got it.
Nice. And then on Instagram, I'm the.urban.healer. Send me a DM, send me questions. I'm here for it. So I kind of function in a couple different ways. I'm a Reiki master, so I do certifications online. My level one and level two are self-guided. I also do Akashic Record readings and certifications. And then my juicy, most favorite offering is my one-on-one coaching. And that's 12 weeks with me, one-on-one, and we're doing all the things. So all of my modalities in terms of EFT tapping, hypnosis, Reiki, NLP, mindfulness, vagal toning, I will teach you how to take care of yourself. I will teach you how to like listen to what you need, reprogram your mind, balance your energy, regulate the nervous system. It's the perfect balance between science and spirituality, the woo and the real, like, I guess, science of it. And you get it all one-on-one with me. So it's very powerful and transformative. And just know, 3 months with this type of coaching is not the equivalence of 3 months of therapy. So if you're ready to transform, come on over.
Come on over. That's great. Yeah, it sounds beautiful. All of our favorite modalities you just mentioned, everyone knows what you're talking about. So we know how powerful it is. Wow, this has been great. I have been wanting to get a registered nurse on here to talk about this, because those credentials matter. And you have done a lot of hard work and you see it firsthand. And hopefully now people can say, oh, wow, Sarah actually knows what she's talking about too.
Absolutely. Like, two thumbs up, approved. I adore you. Your energy is incredible. I'm so glad we got to chat.
Thank you.
If you ever want to talk about poop, for example, let me tell you, because poop is spiritual. The next episode.
You know what? I talk about poop a lot because we have a toddler. So it comes up quite a bit. So, you know, it wouldn't be that weird.
Love it. Amazing.
Well, on that lovely note, thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
This conversation with Tamea was wonderful for so many reasons, and she is just a gem of a personality, so I hope you enjoyed her energy as much as I did. So I just wanted to share my three biggest takeaways from this interview, and I hope they resonate with you too. So the first one is that we need to approach our own bodily health in a more holistic way. Don't chase results, even if you need to focus on managing a condition in the moment. Manage the condition as needed with the help of your trusted medical doctor, but also work on self-reflection and self-awareness. Ask yourself, what is going on in my internal world that is being projected out into my external world via this health condition? This has been my motto for years now, and I'm so glad to hear registered healthcare professionals believing in this as well. And number two, victim shaming is bad, full stop. I did a whole podcast episode about how we shouldn't be victim blaming people. But also, victimhood mindset is bad as well. Things happen outside of our control, yes. But as a modern mystic, you can choose to see the bigger picture of your life and realize that there is a reason behind these things happening right now in this way. Give yourself permission to throw yourself a pity party, as you need to, because we all do sometimes. And once you have a good cry, you can pick yourself back up and take a step back and consider how you can work through this ailment or this hardship and learn from it. Because it's not just happening in a vacuum. It's happening for a reason. And it's a divine reason. And it's always going to be for your highest good. And the third biggest takeaway I have is that you have a relationship with your body. You do. It's alive, right? So you have a relationship with it. Listening to it as it speaks to you means tuning into your intuition. If you ignore your body's signals, they'll likely get worse and worse until you cannot ignore them anymore, often in the form of a diagnosis. Bringing your awareness into your health habits and how they impact your body and your spirit and that connection is a great place to start to learn how your body uniquely speaks to you. If you enjoyed this episode, you might also enjoy episode 137 titled Manifesting with Crystal Reiki. Within that episode, I tell a little story about why I believe it's so important to combine the world of spiritual healing with medical healing because of my mom's best friend, Brenda. Before we sign off for this week, I wanted to extend an extra special thank you to all of my monthly supporters who choose to kindly donate to Spiritually Inspired. Your support means the world for me. Thank you so much for sharing your abundance with me. It means a lot, and I sincerely hope you enjoy your exclusive member benefits, which include weekly guided Reiki meditations you won't find anywhere else, and personalized monthly tarot card readings, as well as discounts on anything else that I offer. To check out these exclusive member benefits for yourself, you can go to spirituallyinspired.co/membership. Thank you so much for listening. This has been episode 177 of the Spiritually Inspired podcast called How Your Body Speaks to You. I'm Sarah Ray, manifesting coach and crystal Reiki master. And as you go on your way today, know that I am sending you an abundance of love and light and inspiration. Blessed be. Hey, you. Yeah, you, the mystical one. You are warmly invited to our next Reiki share inside of our free Facebook group. Twice per week, I go live on camera to offer channeled guidance from spirit and healing energy to all those who need it and want it, with replays always available. And I would be honored if you would be a part of these magical circles. Go to spirituallyinspired.co/freegroup to become a member for free and get your fill of healing crystal Reiki. I can't wait to see you in the group. Bye, friends.